Because the big problem with data retention is if you cannot keep data, traffic data, then you cannot keep IP addresses. If you cannot keep IP addresses, well, then it's very hard to investigate certain type of crimes, particularly child pornography crimes, where it's usually or very frequently the only information that you have. If you have a person that is downloading or uploading child pornography, for example, on a peer-to-peer system like Imbiol or Kazaa, which in some cases is still used, well, then you need to have their IP addresses. Otherwise, how are you going to find who they are? You can, of course, if they are uploading the data, you can perhaps find some properties in the data. But if they are just downloading it, then you will most likely not have any other information. And the main innovation in this decision is this. With regard to specifically to email and internet telephony, that's what the court says, provided that only the IP addresses of the source of the communication are retained and not the IP addresses of the recipient. And so you may only know the source. For example, in a peer-to-peer network, you know who is downloading, and not the IP addresses of the recipient of the communication. Those addresses are not so sensitive. They don't disclose that much information, so they will not tell you who you were speaking with, how long you were speaking with, what you were doing. They will just say that you had this IP address. However, the court always stresses out, if you are trying to find an IP, this person's IP address, and you are trying to see their logs, the which sites they have been seeing, what's their online activity, then you can't do this. Then you have a serious interference with one's private life. This is not what we are talking about. We are not talking about point-to-point communication. We are talking about the origin of the communication. So the court says, a legislative measure providing for the general and indiscriminate retention of only IP addresses does not in principle appear to be contrary to Article 15.1 of the directive and to the charter, as long, of course, as substantive and procedural conditions are complied with. And the court says a bit more, which is more mainly related to subscriber data. So the data related to the civil identity of users of electronic communication systems may also be kept. So if you can keep the IP addresses, and you can contact the electronic communication provider asking him, who is the person who paid the bill for the internet that was used with this IP address, if we want to make things very simple, then this data can be kept. So this is very useful for criminal investigations, even though the court always places a lot of safeguards, a lot of caveats, a lot of questions on and limits to this. But still, in this case, if you want to know the identity of people who are using electronic communication systems, then we are not interfering particularly with the user's private lives. This interference is not a serious interference. It is still data that is personal, of course, but it's not that serious. They even say that there is no legislation, it's not against the European Union for example, users of a given prepaid SIM card to be obliged to provide their identification whenever they purchase one of the SIM cards. It's no problem. And so if we are, the legislative measures concerning the processing of data, including the retention of and access to that data solely for the purpose of identifying the user concerned, and if you don't associate this information with anything else, the communications made, the websites that were accessed, the destination of the communication, then you may in principle do this, of course, for the purposes of safeguarding national security, combating serious crime, and preventing serious threat. So here is the conclusion of this decision. You cannot keep bulk data and blanket data retention for national security purposes. Data retention is permissible on objective grounds. If you target it, specify it. You can keep IP addresses only as a source of the communication because they are less sensitive. And with regard to data relating to the civil identity of users, it does not interfere seriously with one's private life. Next up, we have the Procuratura decision. The Procuratura decision, and of course, I will not address what has already been said, because the Procuratura, to a great extent, is the same thing or addresses the same topics as before, and it does not introduce much novelty in this case, except for one point, because in here, the court addresses a specific subject, which is, can the public prosecutor's office, when investigating a case, access this data? And so, or do we need a court order? And the court is very clear here. The public prosecutor's office is not in a position to carry out the prior review of compliance with the legislation at hand. They are not, even if the legislation says they are independent, they are in charge of the investigation. And so we need someone to analyze it in a more independent manner. So for you to have an independent review, you need to have, in principle, a court or at least an independent authority. And so this was the conclusion that the public prosecutor's office could not have the power to authorize access of a public authority to traffic and location data. The last decision that I will address is from April 5 of 2022. It begins by reiterating what the Liquidatio do Net decision said. You can keep data as long as it is targeted, no general and indiscriminate data retention. And the first question, you could already guess the answer, or one of the questions, I mean, you could already guess the answer by the Procuratura decision, is if the police can be considered to be an independent authority to access traffic and location data. Of course not. So the court says the EU law precludes it. You need an independent authority or a judge to do so. But perhaps the most interesting part of this decision is that the court answers a question that has long been put. What should we do with legislation transposing Directive 2006? Because you had the Directive 2006, and then you had national legislation transposing the directive. With the invalidation of the directive fell, but the legislation was still into force. Can you keep it into force? And the court said, well, if you maintain the effects of national legislation, and this was the Irish 2011 Act that they were addressing, this would mean that the legislation would continue to impose this obligation. This would be contrary to the EU law, and it would seriously interfere with the fundamental rights of the EU people, in this case, those who are in Ireland. And so the referring court cannot limit the temporal effects of a declaration of invalidity, especially when that declaration is retroactive. And so they cannot keep this legislation. It's against the European Union. It's against European Union law. The last question, which is a question that I would like to see answered in a more clear manner, but of course the court couldn't do it, is one that has been put in different cases, which is, what's the impact on the admissibility of evidence that has been produced under the bulk data retention legislation that exists in each state? And so you have a state that transposed Directive 2006. Directive 2006 was annulled, was declared invalid, and now you have national legislation obliging electronic communication service providers to keep the data. And when they keep the data, a judge orders that data to be produced. But what happens now? If that data could not have been kept, and the fact that that data is being kept is against the European Union law, what can you do? Is this evidence forbidden? Is there an exclusionary rule that we can apply? Well, the court here just says admissibility is a matter of national law. And so this is for you national legislator to see. It's important to stress that this case that was decided just at the time of recording this month, this case is a murder case. And so it was referred to the European Court of Justice, and the impact that this will have in the national case is still unknown. But we should be following up on this case recently. So the question is, what is the impact in national legislation? Well, after the European Court of Justice decision, you had the UK, the Netherlands, at the time the UK was still in the EU, Germany, Austria, Belgium, Luxembourg, Slovenia, Slovakia, they were either repealing or amending their national legislation. Of course, this has changed. We don't have, I'm basing myself in the latest study of this matter, which is, I think, from 2018. I don't believe there is a comprehensive study of every national legislation. I can see that most legislation is, or at least a lot of legislations are still changing. 40% of all countries kept their laws as they were. This includes Portugal, Hungary, and Spain. We have been seeing countries unwilling to let go of blanket data retention. In Portugal, for example, we'll still have it. No one is challenging it. It's actually in the Constitutional Court because our ombudsman asked for the Constitutional Court to analyze it. It has been there for more than a year. I'm curious to see how it will end, but it's still, we are analyzing its constitutionality, not its conformity to European Union law, which are two different things. The first question I'd like to ask, of course, and I'm not sure if I can answer, is if the court was right in deciding to prohibit blanket data retention. I really have mixed feelings on this subject. Firstly, because I understand the interest of privacy that is being protected. But I wonder if this couldn't be worse for privacy than if it were kept. Of course, if we considered everyone's privacy, no, but consider a criminal investigation for a minor offense. If you don't have traffic data to investigate, you will need harsher investigative measures. You will need to move for wiretapping, perhaps. You will need to move for hacking, legal hacking. You will need for undercover investigation because you don't have the necessary investigation tools, which would be traffic data, location data. And so I'm not entirely sure, but I would say that the court might have gone too far with these decisions. It is not, you cannot anticipate when a crime will occur. If you could, then you would do real-time collection of data. Saying that you can anticipate and you can foresee some type of serious offense occurring is very questionable. And I would say it's unreal. You cannot anticipate this type of crimes, and this will hamper a lot of criminal investigations. Of course, the decision of the court allowing for the conservation of some IP addresses for certain cases, for certain purposes, is still a move forward, but it's not perfect. It's, of course, necessary. This data is necessary for criminal investigations. I understand that there may be too much data, but perhaps we should create effective mechanisms to ensure that such data is not accessed. But still, it's up for discussion. Another question is, and I will only put two questions before closing this presentation, is may the providers of a public communication network keep storing the data? In my opinion, yes. They may keep storing the data because it's not up to them to analyze if European Union law is being respected, if they have national legislation mandating them to keep the data. And so if their data has not, if their country has not repealed their national data retention legislation, then they should be able to keep it. They should be, and they are not obliged to delete it. The question is, must they keep the data? That I am not entirely sure. I may say that if the consequence for deleting the data is that you will be sanctioned for an administrative fine, for example, then this would mean that you would be sanctioned for abiding by European Union law. Well, in Portugal, we had a very curious case where the Portuguese Data Protection Authority has stated who is the entity responsible for sanctioning the electronic communication service providers for not keeping data. The Data Protection Authority says, well, if you delete the data, we will not sanction you. You are free to delete the data because we feel that we cannot sanction you for acting in accordance with EU law. And the last question, which the court started answering in the latest decision, the Irish one, may national courts produce data that has been stored under laws that are incompatible with ECJ's decision? It's very debatable. It's up for discussion. The European Court of Justice seems to be inclined to say no. But the consequence of this, which is as relevant as if they are allowed to do so, if it is done, what is the consequence? It's still up for national legislation, which means if the evidence has been produced in this manner, what happens to it? It's up for discussion. And so this was what I wanted to speak with you about. Thank you very much for your attention. You have my email if you want to contact me at any time, and I will be more than glad to answer any of your questions.